It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday, August 6th. I'm Noelle King in Los Angeles, in for Ben Johnson, exploring the latest on how technology is changing our lives and our society. The Android operating system scored a point recently in its ongoing war with Apple. According to the latest data, for the first time ever, the web traffic generated by Android smartphones and tablets was greater than that of Apple's mobile devices. Marketplace's Queena Kim breaks it down for us.
Sales of Android smartphones and tablets worldwide have been beating Apple for some time now. But Apple's CEO Tim Cook has waved off this concern by saying Apple dominates when it comes to online traffic. Then he'd ask, where are those Androids anyway?
They must be in warehouses or on store shelves or maybe in somebody's bottom drawer.
Cook will have to retire that joke with news that Android now beats Apple's mobile devices and web traffic. Tuong Nguyen is an analyst at Gartner, and he doesn't think Apple users will just switch to Android.
When you're talking about the iOS crowd, they tend to be a more self-selecting crowd, users who either have more income or are more engaged with technology and their devices.
Bailing Yin is a co-founder of the Mobile Innovation Group at Stanford. She says the real turning point will be when greater Android web use turns into more money.
Just because they're using it more doesn't mean you can get them to pay you more.
Yin says Apple users still buy more apps and goods online, and so from a business perspective, can be seen as more valuable. In San Francisco, I'm Queena Kim for Marketplace.
Now to the question of what tech companies must do when they come across users behaving illegally. And a quick warning, this next story involves subject matter that might not be appropriate for kids or sensitive listeners. If that's you, please join us again in about 3 minutes. Google has a policy of scanning user email for evidence of child sexual abuse. Last week, the company sent a tip to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Google says it had evidence that a Houston man was emailing explicit images of an underage girl to a friend. Authorities acted on the tip, got a search warrant, and allegedly found child pornography on the man's tablet and his phone. The apprehension of an alleged abuser is a positive outcome, but did Google's actions cross any lines? Stephen Balcom is the founder and CEO of the Family Online Safety Institute. Stephen, thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Google says it was following the law. What is the law in cases like this?
That they are to report images of child sexual abuse, and they have done so along the same lines that most in the industry are now doing.
So this is a legal responsibility of all big companies. Is there debate over whether this kind of monitoring is appropriate?
Well, let's do a couple of things. Monitoring and scanning are two quite different things. What's happened in this case is the child sexual abuse images were known. In other words, there are many images out there that are swapped and traded amongst pedophiles, but in some cases they have watermarks on them using a technique called PhotoDNA that was developed by Microsoft. And the computers, the servers at Google picked that up, and that led to Google handing this over to NCMEC.
Where is the line drawn? If Google found evidence that someone was plotting a robbery, would it intervene?
The simple answer to that is no. They don't scan for illegal activity, robbing a bank or trying to commit a murder or some such thing, because they're not scanning content in that way.
Google's chairman, Eric Schmidt, wrote an op-ed in the Daily Mail newspaper late last year about child pornography. In it, he said the company had, quote, put more than 200 people to work developing new state-of-the-art technology to tackle the problem. It sounds like a real commitment on the part of Google?
I would say so, and across the industry. I mean, if you think about it, this is about the most heinous crime known. So yes, everyone in the industry is doing their best and their utmost to catch the distribution of that material and obviously to catch those who are distributing it.
Is the technology reaching the point where we might be going some great distance to tackling the problem? And is this story evidence of that?
I think it is. I think that we cannot, though, just go, oh, good, then this issue is now dealt with. Because I think, obviously, there are other ways in which you can send child sexual abuse images through, you know, a direct live link, for instance. You can use text messaging. There's all sorts of different ways. So, no, this problem remains with us. And if anything, it gets more problematic as the technology itself advances.
Are people working on technological solutions to the problem of the text message or the live link?
My understanding is yes, they are. And I know that the National Center here in Washington, as well as the Internet Watch Foundation and CUP in the UK, they're all linked internationally as well to try and pick up this kind of activity.
Stephen Balcom is the founder and CEO of the Family Online Safety Institute. Stephen, thanks for being with us.
Thanks again for having me.
We reached out to Google, and a spokesperson confirms the company doesn't scan for general criminal activity. The New York Times is reporting that a Russia-based crime ring has obtained more than a billion internet username and password combinations and more than 500 million email addresses. The criminals reportedly aren't selling the information, which would be lucrative, but instead using it to spread spam on social networks like Twitter. It's unclear which individuals or companies were affected. The security company that discovered the criminal activity told the New York Times that hackers targeted both U.S. and foreign companies and everything from the websites of Fortune 500 firms to very small websites. And finally, maybe you're a little skeptical of 3D printers. You think, well, sure, the technology is impressive, but what do they really make? Plastic trinkets? Well, a designer named Olaf Deagle has used a 3D printer to make a plastic saxophone that you can play. Here's what it sounds like. I don't have much of an ear, but it sounds pretty good to me. I'm Noelle King, and that's Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.